Hey, this is Maya, and you're listening to The Brad Gilmore Show.
Oh, Brad, what have you done now?
You got that body I wanna do. Damn, girl, I'm feeling you. So let's just do. And me, I'm in that place you wanna be. Yeah, girl, I'm talking VIP. So let's just be. So let's go.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the one and the only, the Brad Gilmore Show.
On demand.
It's a beautiful day in Houston, Texas, H-Town, my home. It is Cinco de Mayo, as Booker T might say, but today on the show, it's very special. It's all the way live because it is Cinco de Mayo. That's right. We have Maya. Maya Harrison joins me on the show today. She's talking about her new album. Check out my man Trey real quick.
But I'm just trying to figure out if I love you though, cause you know what they say about your type. Off-white model like only order salads right. Petite with an accent that's thick as hell. Real sweet with some eyes like you're from Brazil. And well, I can tell that you're feeling this. And in them Louis Vuittons, girl, you be killing it. This is something that I've been on.
Yeah, body I can send on. Friend zone, I'm just asking what the, hey. So anyway, sorry, that's my group 2011. If you don't know, now you know. That's our song Dance Floor to the Sun, available on all social media. But Maya is here today. She's talking about her new album. Her new album is TKO The Knockout, and I'm telling you, this is a solid R&B album. And I'm finding myself, as I get older, I'm liking more R&B. I like it a little bit slower. I like a little smoothness to the music, and that's what I'm finding as I get a little bit older. But Maya's album is great. We're also talking about her album, or her series rather. We're talking about her album, we're talking about her series. Her series is called Fifth Ward, and it's about the historic Fifth Ward area in Houston, Texas. And every time I think about Fifth Ward, I remember it was 2008, or maybe it was 2007. No, it was 2008, over a decade ago. And I was going around Fifth Ward knocking on doors with Cory Booker, of all people. Hold on, wait, check this out.
One life.
That's your man, Brad Gilmore, right there.
All day, got a little bit done.
What else?
That's okay, now the night begins. As long as we don't go home tonight, never ends.
Yeah. So anyway, I was going door to door with Cory Booker, of all people, and Senator Cory Booker, and we were knocking on doors, campaigning for Barack Obama. And that's when every time I think about Fifth Ward, I think about the Ghetto Boys, and I think about campaigning for Obama in 08. I'm not a political guy, and I don't want to talk about politics, but I'm just saying I remember that vividly. And so we're going to talk about Fifth Ward with Maya. We're also going to talk about one of my favorite films of all time. I'm a big movie lover, as some of you might know. And one of my favorite movies, it's only, and I tell Maya this, there's only a few movies I've seen in the theaters more than once, right? And the most I've seen them twice. There's very few movies I've seen more than twice. I think there's only one movie I've seen more than twice in the theaters, and that was Chicago. Chicago is a musical, early 2000s, Rob Marshall directed, Richard Gere, Renee Zellweger, Catherine Zeta-Jones. One of my favorite movies ever, and Maya was in that film, and she was in a pretty big sequence, the Cell Block Tango. He had it coming, which is one of the greatest, it's one of the greatest musicals of all time, and greatest musicals made into a movie of all time, at least in my opinion. And so I'm going to talk to Maya about Chicago, the making of that film, how she got involved. Like I said, we're talking about her new album, TKO. We're talking about her love for the H. We're talking about her series, The Fifth Ward, which is on the UMC, the Urban Movie Channel. Make sure you check out her album, available on all social media platforms, on all streaming platforms, I should say, and check her out on all social media platforms at MayaPlanet9. Want to give a big shout out to my man Justin for making this happen. So without further ado, let's get to our special guest interview right now on the Brad Gilmore Show. It is Cinco de Maya, Maya Harrison.
Maybe we'll stop to let each other go, but I don't even know. You keep falling, falling back.
Maya joins me on the line right now. Maya, how's it going?
How are you?
I am good. What's going on today? What are you up to today?
into Phoenix, Arizona from California for Cinco de Mayo. But I'm doing an event called Cinco de Mayo and performing tonight at Mint.
I love it. It is Cinco de Mayo for all of us over here in Houston, Texas as well. Let's just get started. You got the new album out right now, TKO, The Knockout, came out 420. I was listening to the album all week just in preparation for this, trying to get some questions together. What a fun album. How does it feel for you to have a new album out here in 2018?
It feels amazing. 2018 is my 20th anniversary, so I was very adamant about putting out something for the fans just as a thank you gift for them riding with me for so long, 2 decades. And it's an accomplishment. It's an independent project. And I know my R&B lovers and 90s R&B lovers have been requesting R&B. So I'm really happy about it.
You pulled off a great balance, though, I think, where you gave fans who are like, you know, classic Maya fans, you gave them that vibe. But you also, I mean, it's not just a 90s R&B feel. I think there's definitely a modernness to it. I think even from the get-go with The Fall, the first song on the album, when you have that kind of that bass that comes in, that bass line that comes in, you can tell that it is a 2018 project. Were you trying to find a balance between giving maybe classic Maya fans what they wanted and still bringing it to a new modern kind of sound?
Well, the last project, Smooth Jones, was a traditional R&B project. So I was already clear in what I wanted to deliver next, which is a contemporary R&B project. So a lot of this material I recorded in 2016 when Smooth Jones came out. And some of the material from Smooth Jones I recorded in 2012, 2013. And so there's always a process to each album I'm doing. There's a specific sound that I was going for. And I provide the balance with my vocals on top because I'm still singing R&B. But musically and sonically, I wanted it to appeal to today's scene. So my production partner, My Guy Mars, from the band 1500 or Nothing, is a great producer. And we both are Libras. And so he's the balance to my voice, and I'm the balance to his music. So it's great. It's a great partnership that we have going on.
You know, but we talk about the creative process of it. When I listen back to, you know, I was listening through the album, there's definitely, I feel like there's like a cinematic vibe to the album. There's like a storyline throughout it. What was the creative process like when you're trying to put it together? Was that thought of like, I want to tell a story. I want to almost feel like a movie score throughout?
Yeah, that was a creative process when creating the track list. I wanted it to make sense and take fans on a journey, or the listener on a journey of contemplation before you get into a relationship. All of the questions that you ask and all of the feelings that you feel, from doubt to fear to being hesitant, and trying love one more time if you have been hurt, and most of us have been. And so you get to witness that thought process from the beginning, and then getting into the water, like stepping a toe into water with questions, you know, on simple things, and the record's down, asking the other person, look, are you going to be here? Are you hit it and quit it? Are you down for the long ride and the long haul? Because I am. And it's not about materialism. It's about the simple things. This is who I am. So I lay out the foundation of who I am. I ask the questions before crossing the line. And then you cross the line with the records like ready for whatever, or, you know, letting, kind of putting your feelings out on the table about how you really feel when the beginning of the album is hesitant and about that. And then you fall deep in love, and, you know, the album, I'm really knocked out. Like, love has taken over me and knocked me out. So you get to experience the climax at the end of the album with If Tomorrow Never Comes, because I'm completely engulfed, you know, in the situation. So I wanted it to build just like a movie. Yeah. But it also sets the stage for the next album coming as well.
Well, like any good movie does nowadays, it sets it up for the sequel, right?
Yeah.
See what's going to happen next. When you talk about movies, though, I mean, I know obviously you've been into acting throughout your entire career. And what I really wanted to talk to you about today, because I'm Houston born and bred. I love the H,
oh,
right?
Nice.
This is my home. This is my city. And I know that you have the Fifth Ward series that's based upon the Fifth Ward, historic Fifth Ward area here in Houston. I just want to talk about Houston first. What is your experience with Houston? I know you spent some time here. I know you've got what connections to Jay Prince and all that with the Rap-A-Lot family. What are your feelings about H-Town?
Well, H-Town is, oh my goodness, it's kind of like a second home to me.
Yeah.
When I went independent, I met with Jay Prince because he's very familiar with the independent route. And so I partnered up with him on one of my very first projects, Beauty in the Streets, Volume 1, which I recorded in Fifth Ward, Houston, Texas, in 2008. It came out in 2009. And Rap-A-Lot, as well as Young Empire, Jazz Prince was all over that project, along with Slim Thug, Bun B, Zero, Chamillionaire, like a lot of features from H-Town. So it was kind of like a DC H-Town connect and collab. So I spent a lot of time there. I still do business on the independent front musically with Jay Prince. And so it's kind of like an extended family down there. I have friends in Houston, Texas as well. But yeah, I did Fifth Ward because of that connection and understanding the link between Houston and DC and inner cities across the United States and us, well, me witnessing what goes on from gentrification to gun violence to the hustle to the grind to making things happen, and obviously temptation and what young men and women are plagued with regarding decision making and survival and getting out or being connected. So Fifth Ward, the series, is a drama series on Bob Johnson's new network, UMC, Urban Movie Channel. And when I read the script, I really truly connected to what or where I'm from, you know, is plagued with, as well as, you know, some of the things that are very similar happening in Houston, Texas, Detroit, Flint, Michigan. I mean, it's all over. So I was very enthusiastic about taking on a more meatier role with a more meatier, I would say, arc in the storyline.
I don't know. Did you find a lot of similarities with you and the character? I know, you know, she's a mother trying to raise her son in Fifth Ward, not the easiest of situations. Did you find a lot of stuff when you were reading through the script? Did you like, okay, yeah, I know what she's going through. I can tap into this.
Oh, yeah. You know, not every personal experience that Nina Kennedy had was my own, but I pulled from many different places as far as being the oldest in my family, being the caretaker, the breadwinner, and watching over my mom and my brothers. And having two brothers and watching over them in my childhood. And then this independent grind is like no other grind coming from a major label system. So when Mina loses her husband, she's left alone to sort of figure it out. And when I stepped out of the major label system, I really had to truly figure it out on my own and generate all of my funds and income and, you know, do a lot of things that I didn't necessarily have to do, like my own paperwork and negotiation, whatever it took, because it wasn't just about me. It was about providing for my family. So there were a lot of things that I related to.
You know, that makes sense, too, that you would come to Houston after stepping out of that major label system. We've always been so independently minded out here, and Jay Prince, mm-hmm. chief amongst them. But, you know, I always remember guys like Slim Thug, ESG, Chamillionaire, Paul Wall. These are guys who went platinum within the city, you know, over a million copies sold independently. So it's a great place to do it. And it is an interesting kind of corollary between you and Mina Kennedy when you look at it that way. I didn't think of it like that. But what are we expecting more from Fifth Ward this season? Are we going to see more of it? I know the season's still kind of playing out. People have a chance to catch up on season one, but are we going to see more?
Oh, I hope so. You know, that's not something I can speak on yet. Until things are signed and on the dotted line, I don't really talk about it. But yeah.
No, I got you. I got you. Now, let me tell you this. So you've always acted and creating music. Has your experiences as an actress changed the way that you approach music? Have you thought of it in a different way?
I have, actually. I've taken some courses. I've done some studying. And when you are acting in a screenplay or a television series, or even an audition, it's very important to understand the connection with every character that you have a relationship with or that you don't have a relationship with, so that you understand the meat behind the scenarios that are playing out. You know, where are you from? What is going on in that area? Everything from the history of the place that you live, because all of that affects who the character is. Is there an accent involved? I take all of these things into consideration, you know, being in acting classes to my songwriting. What is the beginning? What is the middle? What is the end? Is there a solution? Is there suspense? Are we going to leave them hanging? You know, there are a lot of things to take into consideration when crafting a song. You know, a song can be a movie, or a whole body of work can be a movie. And you have to take people to a certain place if you want maximum, I think, effectivity. And so creating that arc, just in this most recent album, I applied what I've learned in acting classes, you know, to give people an experience, not just a song, not just a script, but something they can feel.
Well, let me tell you this. I'm going to tell you a personal story here for a minute. So, you know, I know of the Avengers movie just came out. When Star Wars movies comes out, people go and they flock to it. They see it 8 times in a row in the theaters. I've only done that with one film in my life. And I don't know if you're going to believe that there's one movie that I've seen more than twice in the theaters. And I saw it 5 times in the theaters, and that was Chicago. Chicago's amazing. One of my favorite movies of all time. Of course, you're in the film. I have to ask you about Chicago. How did you, how did you end up getting that part? And what was the experience like working on, you know, an Academy Award winning film like Chicago? And I think one of the best musicals ever on Broadway and on the screen.
Well, I'll start with your second question. It was amazing working on that prestigious film, which was originally a Broadway play, still playing to this day in New York City and abroad. But wow, to watch the director Rob Marshall bring every aspect of filmmaking to life was very inspiring, because he was involved in every process from the soundtrack, overseeing wardrobe, choreographing, overseeing other choreography, vocal training, obviously the table reads and acting. So he is a do-it-all director, and he's just a very creative being. So that was inspiring to know that you can do it all because you know what you want. And doing all of the research and the backstory for period pieces like that, because it takes place at a specific time in history, American history, and in Chicago. So you have to know what people were wearing as it pertains to overseeing an entire wardrobe department. It was awesome. And then obviously working alongside greats like Queen Latifah and Catherine Zeta-Jones, Renee Zellweger, Richard Gere. I mean, come on. It was awesome. Great company. How I got involved, I auditioned like everyone else. And I was asked to improvise. I was given a scenario of murdering my husband and sort of giving my explanation in a jail cell. So I asked the director for a pen and pretended like it was a cigarette in the audition. And thank goodness I was mad at my boyfriend at the time in real life, because yeah, it worked. And I pulled from that place. And I also had to learn choreography within like 10 minutes and perform it back to back on camera so they could see, number one, flexibility, the ability to learn fast and execute the choreography. Because there were nothing but professional dancers on set.
But Cell Block Tango is one of the most classic songs from that movie. Just a last question on Chicago. How long did it take to shoot that sequence for Cell Block Tango?
Oh, wow.
Was it like a multiple day process, or was it all like...
I think so.
Yeah.
I think it was a multiple day process because there was the scene with just the, I believe, 7 or 6 Mary murderesses. Mm-hmm. And then there was the entire ensemble of dancers and cast for He Had It Coming, that piece. So I think those were done in two separate days. But I'm going to tell you, we had Advil on deck because the shoes were custom made for everyone and they were so tight. It was excruciating. The pain was unbearable. And so I don't know how other people got through it, but I had to pop 4 Advil every hour.
Every hour, on the hour.
Every hour.
That's the price of fame, right? That's the price of what we do. That's the price of entertainment.
I wasn't complaining, but I had to fix it.
What did Beyonce say? Pretty hurts, right? Well, the album TKO is out now. any plans on coming through the H? Are you going to stop in for a concert? Is that something that you have on the agenda?
Always. I would love to come back to Houston, Texas, sooner than later. I think I performed there last year and the year before with a band, actually, at, I don't know if it's Empire or somewhere else that starts with an E. But yeah, I would love to come back. I'm always in Houston, Texas, at least once or twice, sometimes 3 times a year. And you can check on mayamaya.com/events for any kind of upcoming dates, or follow me on Instagram at MayaPlanet9.
That's right, MayaPlanet9. Well, Maya, one last thing I got to tell you. The album is phenomenal, and you have such a great team working with you. And I think that's so much part of this independent hustle is you got to have teammates that you can rely on, pass the ball to when you need them. And you have a great team over there. Love working with everyone over there. So, Maya, that is Maya. The album is out, TKO. Get it now wherever music is streamed. Check her out at MayaPlanet9 on social media for upcoming events. It's Cinco de Maya, and we appreciate you stopping by and chatting with me for a moment.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much.
Oh, Brad, what have you done now?